With each passing week, the stakes in cybersecurity game seem to get higher. Now, Sony is reeling from a cyber attack U.S. officials believed originated in North Korea. This incident got me wondering if the average federal agency has sufficient defenses against an attack like this, or if it has enough resilience to recover. For an update on the cybersecurity status of the federal government, Jim Lewis, senior fellow at the Center for Strategic and International Studies. Jim, good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. And I should note, Federal News Radio's executive editor Jason Miller is in studio with me this morning. So from your point of view, I mean, you wrote the original report, Cybersecurity Guidance for the 44th Presidency. Some of it has come to pass, some of it has not. How good do you think the average federal agency is these days at cyber defense?
Well, it's a lot better than it was 8 years ago. So you've got to look on the bright side. But it varies widely between agencies. And so some, particularly the national security agencies, have put in a tremendous amount of efforts. Some of the civilian agencies still have a ways to go. So when we look across the board, it's not perfect. And that might not be the right answer when you look at new opponents like Iran and North Korea.
Jim, one of the things about federal agency cybersecurity, there was a hearing, I guess, maybe 2 weeks ago, my colleague Jared Serbu covered where the FBI testified and talked about how not even federal agencies could have withstood this type of attack that was on Sony. Is there anything that stood out to you from the type of attack it was in terms of how the federal agencies could, how it relates back to the federal agency cyber defenses?
Well, the thing to bear in mind is that the Sony attack was good at getting in, and then they were good at extracting data. And I don't think it would work so well with a lot of... I'm actually sort of pro-Fed on this one. So, you know, the Sony... There's a famous interview with a Sony executive where he says that, well, a cyber attack would only cost Sony $1 million, so why should he spend $10 million to build his defenses to be better? He's probably regretting that calculus this week. I don't think you'd find federal governments in the same boat. Our problem is getting people to do things in a consistent fashion, getting them to meet the standards that are out there. You know, of course, Jason, that FISMA reform finally passed in this Congress. So the part that doesn't leap out to people is this was a political action, right? And so what Sony did in terms of exfiltrating data and moving things out, I think most federal agencies are better. They would be much better at withstanding the political pressure that was put on Sony by the North Koreans. And hopefully there aren't too many senior executives out there writing about Angelina Jolie. But even if there were, I think that's the key difference, is that the political effect wouldn't be so great when it comes to pushing on a federal agency.
So if they got emails, say, from Jay Johnson at Homeland Security complaining about, I don't know, the head of FEMA or the head of TSA or something, that's probably not what they would be able to get, even if they were to have a breach.
And that's the kind of thing that people always need to think about. It's the Washington Post test. You know, how would you feel about this email appearing on the front page of the Post? And once you get to a certain level in the federal service, you really do have to think that. It's clear that the Sony people didn't think about that. And, you know, again, to demonstrate the unevenness among agencies, the Russians were able to get into unclassified email systems that stayed in the White House. Didn't leak the information, which is interesting. That means they probably hope to monitor it. IRS, as you know, has had some email problems. So the federal government is such a huge entity that some agencies do great and some don't. And what we don't want to do is find out the hard way which is which.
And I wanted to ask you about the idea of critical infrastructure, because federal agencies have relationships with those industrial counterparts that most of them are with Homeland Security, but energy and some of the other agencies have their industrial counterparts that they share information with. But the Sony attack, you really couldn't say was critical infrastructure. So
right.
Is there anything for the federal government other than what the president said about its, you know, we shouldn't be censored on movies and that kind of thing? Is this really a federal matter at all?
That's a great question, because the emphasis in cybersecurity has been on government and critical infrastructure, and not on kind of the consumer space, the dot-com space that isn't involved in critical infrastructure. And when you look at the big hacks that we've seen, Target, Home Depot, the consumer-related hacks. Those are crimes. There's a role for the FBI. But do we need to think about some way to bring these companies up to some new standard? What would that standard even be? So I think one of the things people are doing is stepping back now and saying, maybe we need to broaden our focus a little bit from critical infrastructure, because things like Sony show, I don't think anybody would call Sony critical infrastructure, although I like their movies a lot, but clearly there's a huge uproar over the actions that have happened.
At the same time, though, Jim, just to play a little devil's advocate with Tom there, one of the things about Sony is it has a huge American company, even though it's based in Japan. There's a lot of Americans who work for it. It's intellectual property. It's in many ways jobs that are being affected. So it may not be quote unquote one of the 16 or 17 critical infrastructures. In a sense, though, it the trickle down effect is huge, and it is an attack against an American company in many ways and American people.
Yeah, and the defenses we have would mainly put the Sony incident into the law enforcement category. FBI has really done a good job at working with Sony, but there's a limit to what you can do when it comes to law enforcement against countries like Iran, Russia, North Korea. We might have to go beyond law enforcement when it comes to these companies that aren't critical infrastructure, but are still really important. And I think we've had a hard time dealing with critical infrastructure and getting people to agree on how to proceed on that. It took probably almost 2 decades. And so hopefully it'll be a little quicker when we think about these consumer-facing companies and the value that they bring to the economy.
Well, it was interesting because I heard Jay Johnson speak from, Tom mentioned him as the Homeland Security Secretary just last week. And one of the things he mentioned was the government is basically putting everything on the table in terms of responses. And this seemed to go beyond just law enforcement, the FBI's role. He seemed to insinuate that the NSA, that the DOD, that others were involved because of the type of hack it was. And then the criticality of cyber information sharing also plays a key role, because if there was an exploit that they use against Sony, could they potentially use that against so many other companies too.
So clearly it was the intelligence community that allowed the president to speak so confidently that it was North Korea responsible for this. And that tends to get a lot lost in a lot of the chatter on the internet. I mean, I've had people tell me that there's actually two North Korean dialects, North Korean and South Korean, and this was written in South Korean, so it couldn't have been North Korea. That sounds insane, and it sounds insane because it is insane. No Korean has ever told me that. But behind that intelligence activity that gives us tremendously better abilities to attribute an attack, right? So this is one area of great improvement for the U.S. You still have the decisions about what do you want to do to help companies harden their network, and what do you want to do to respond to countries that do things like this. And in some ways, North Korea is the worst possible case. I mean, they have nuclear weapons. They're insane. Technically, we're still at war with them, and they don't have an economy. So there aren't a lot of pressure points when it comes to that country. War, military response, probably off the table, right? Because nobody wants a war on the Korean Peninsula. But what we might see is other activities, sanctions, diplomatic activities. Let's see what the White House comes up with.
We're speaking with Jim Lewis, Director and Senior Fellow of Strategic Technologies Program at the Center for Strategic and International Studies. And there was, of course, a freeze of the internet access for North Korea temporarily yesterday. And there's speculation, was it the United States or was it some other country that did it? Maybe China, who knows? But given what Cyber Command's progress has been so far, do you think the United States actually has the ability to counter in that way that quickly, to cut off a whole country?
Well, the quickness part is both the capabilities. Cyber Command has the capabilities to do what we saw yesterday, but also the decision-making process. So you're saying that if they concluded Thursday or Friday that was North Korea, would they have come to a decision to do something like that within 3 or 4 days? Don't know. A little hard to believe. The other thing is, what did we really get out of doing that? And that's one reason why I don't think it was the U.S., is that it was nice. Maybe it sent a message to the North Koreans. but it didn't really get us a lot in terms of changing their behavior.
So Kim Il-jong then could not order his brandy for a couple of hours, I guess, is really the only effect.
Yeah, brandy and cigars are important to him. That's actually a better avenue to go after, is the North Koreans run a huge criminal enterprise that delivers hard currency to the leadership so they can buy luxury goods. That sounds ridiculous, but that's how it works. Go after that network, and I think the administration has talked about that. Put a little pressure on the leadership's pocketbook to remind them why it was a bad idea to do this to Sony.
And a final question is, as we mentioned earlier, you did write the 44th presidency's cybersecurity guidance. Now we're 2 years away from the 45th presidency. Is that in the works from CSIS now? Guidance for the 45th presidency?
Well, we are going to do a counting. We are going to take a step back and say a lot of progress since we wrote that report. It was a bipartisan report. But what are the areas where we still need to make progress? And also, what's changed? I mean, in some ways, the internet is so different from when we started this in 2008. Just the importance of social networks, the way people use it, the Internet of Things, all the buzzwords. Behind those buzzwords, there is a reality. So where does the policy need to, A, do what we thought was a good idea 6 years ago, and B, change in order to account for the new ways we use the internet? And one of the things we'll probably have to look at is, what do you want to say about companies like Sony? Not critical infrastructure, but still very important. And maybe there has to be some sort of coordinated approach to protecting them.
Jim Lewis is the Director of Strategic Technologies Program at the Center for Strategic and International Studies. Thanks so much for joining me.
Thank you.